Good morning. It is a wonderful story of love, just like we heard the ladies sing. It is that wonderful story of love, the reason why we are here today, why we have gathered here. If it wasn't for that story of love, we would have no reason to be here. I greet you in the name of Jesus, the man who is the man behind the story of love, the man who paid the price for us to be able to retell the story of love. This morning, we want to talk about love again, just like the lady sang about. In our Bibles, let's turn to John chapter 14. And we're going to read a portion, verses 15 through verse 24. We find that Jesus is right here doing some one-on-one with his disciples. If we look through the whole Gospel of John, we find that John chapters 13 through 17 were the chapters where Jesus prepared his disciples for things that were to come. Jesus was about to the point where he was going to die on the cross for the sins of all man. And he was going to leave his disciples. And he was getting his disciples ready for this time. Let's read that portion. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 24. It says this: "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will not see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and that you, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me." We find Jesus here, he's kind of in the middle of this period where he is preparing his disciples for things to come. And the words that Jesus said here were spoken in a very short period before, a very short time, before he performed the greatest act of love in history. We could say even literally hours before. This was an act, namely the death of himself, the Son of God, on the cross, in the place of sinners, so that everyone who believes in him might be forgiven of their sins, and that we could be accepted by God into an everlasting joy and an eternal life. Jesus was, as he said in John 10, verse 15, he was about to lay his life down for the sheep. And we can find, if we read this whole story, if we read these four chapters, we can find that these disciples, they were a little bit confused, you might say. They were a little bit afraid. Jesus spoke of things that were about to come. These disciples, for some reason, did not quite understand it. We read that more often. Jesus said to them sometimes, these things you are not going to understand now, but later you will. And I think this was another one of those things the disciples did not quite understand what Jesus was talking about. But one thing they understood, and that was this. Jesus was about to leave them. They knew that Jesus was going to die. That one thing they knew. And they were afraid of what was going to happen. They did not want to lose this man who they had walked with for nearly 3 years. They had grown so used to him being around and being a leader. They did not want to lose him. These disciples right in this moment were in dire need of encouragement. And we see that Jesus does it. He gave them encouragement, but he gave it not only to them. We today need the encouragement just as bad as the disciples needed it at that moment. He gave it to them, but he gives it to everyone who believes in his name. Jesus told the disciples that he would die and that he would live again, and that he and the Father and the Holy Spirit will come to us and to be with us forever. And he would never leave us, no matter where we are or what we're going through. Just like Jesus said in the last verse of Matthew 28, he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. But let's make a couple of observations here. First, he makes it clear that the gifts that he is promising here is not something that he gives to the world. If we end the subject there, we might not know what we're talking about. It might sound wrong. But God has a special love for his own people. The love that he promises here is not a love that he has for the world. We know the kind of love that he speaks about in John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might have everlasting life. Then we go to 2 Peter 3, verse 9. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the kind of love he has for the world, a drawing love that draws in a sinner. But for his own people, there is a love that God reserves for his own. Let's read verse 16 and 17. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But, he says, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. We see the Spirit was already with these disciples. He just wasn't in them yet. But we see that also this is a promise, the Holy Spirit, that Jesus promised his disciples. The Holy Spirit is something that the world cannot receive, cannot know, cannot feel. They cannot experience it. Then we read in verse 19. Jesus says, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. And because I live, you will live also. In verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? The Holy Spirit cannot be manifested to the world. The Holy Spirit cannot be manifested in somebody who is not a believer. We see three gifts here that he promises. First, he offers an intimate relationship with him. And second, he says he will be with us. He will help us. And third, he says that he will love us. What he promises here is something the world cannot receive. It's something the world does not know. And it's something the world does not experience. What Jesus promises here is a relationship that is so personal, so intimate, that the world simply cannot receive it. The second observation is the love that his own people have for his son. It says, for God's own people who receive these promises and this love are not simply just called Christians and believers. But we see here that four times they are described as those who love Jesus. Verse 15 and 16 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Verse 23, we see it again. Jesus answered and said unto him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Romans 5, verse 8 says, but God demonstrated his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God didn't wait for us to love him first, or before he loved us. He didn't wait for us to love him before he loved us. John also believed that. When he says in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. We find another beautiful truth in verse 21, where he says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And here's the beautiful part of it. It says, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. It says, not only Jesus will love us. But his Father will love us as well. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. And again, we see it in verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. So we see that God's love came first in order to enable us to love. Unless there was no love before God loved us. God responds to our love and loves us with a unique, personal, intimate, affectionate, caring, and a committed love that belongs only to those that love his Son. The promises of these verses are not something that Jesus promised the world, for they can't see them, they can't know them, or even experience them. These promises are only for those who love Jesus. In the Gospel of John, if we read through the whole Gospel of John, there are different examples of love. But some of them examples are not love, are not the love of God. There's different, how Jesus explained, how the love of man, how we love sometimes, how the flesh wants to love. One of those examples we see in John 3, verse 19, it says that men love darkness more than the light. Or it says they love the darkness rather than the light. That's what they wanted. They desired it. They enjoyed it. They preferred it. They didn't love darkness out of duty. They loved it because they craved it. The darkness that he's talking about here is sin. 1 John 2, verse 11 says, but he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. We find another example of the wrong kind of love in John 12, verse 43. The last part of the verse, it says, for they loved the praise of man more than the praise of God. I think we live in a time where the praise of man is something that Everybody seems to, or a lot of people try to really search for that. They love the praise of man more than they love the praise of God, especially on social media. You post something, if you don't get no likes, something's wrong. It seems like when somebody posts something on social media, they want some response to it, and it has to be good. We want to be praised. The love of God wouldn't do that. If the love of God is in us, we don't look for the praise of man. But here it says again, for they love the praise of man more than the praise of God. They wanted it. They longed for it. Isn't that the story of today's life as well? This is what loving it means. They craved human praise. This is how they loved it. Christians should be well spoken of. And 1 Timothy 3, verse 7 says, they should have a good report of them which are without. One of Paul's associates, we read Demetrius. In 3 John, verse 12, it says, Demetrius hath a good report of all men. We see that in the Bible time, we see that some people there, they were good, spoken good of. Some people did speak well of other people. This should be said of every follower of Christ. But then why is the warning given? Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. The woe pronounced applies to those whose aim is to maintain their reputation, which they may have rightly merited. After gaining the reputation of being outstanding in his profession, a man's danger exists in striving to maintain it. Some of the most successful evangelists and physicians have made shipwreck of faith in this way. I found a letter written by a lady in 1903. I don't know who she wrote it to, but it writes like this. She says, oh, how many have fallen because they trusted in their profession for salvation. How many are lost by their effort to keep up a name? If one has the reputation of being a successful evangelist, a gifted preacher, a man of prayer, a man of faith, a man of special devotion, there is positive danger that he will make shipwreck of faith when tried by the little tests that God suffers to come. Often, his great effort will be to maintain his reputation. He who lives in the fear that others do not appreciate his value is losing sight of him who alone makes us worthy of glorifying God. Let us be faithful stewards over ourselves. Let us look away from self to Christ. Then there will be no trouble at all. All the work done, however excellent it may appear to be, is worthless if not done in the love of Jesus. One may go through the whole round of religious activity, and yet, unless Christ is woven into all that he says and does, he will work for his own glory. A letter written by Ellen G. White in 1903. There's a lot of truth in that little letter. If we are looking for the praise of man, we are working for our own glory. God wants us to work for his glory. We need to work. Everything we do, everything we say should be to his glory. But God's love for his son is different. We find in John 3, verse 35, that the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. When Jesus was baptized, we hear God saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And when Jesus was transfigured on the mountain, again here we see, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." This is the only way to love the Son, to be pleased with him, to feel pleasure in him, and to admire and enjoy him, and to stand in awe of him. Let's ask ourselves a couple of questions now. So what does it mean to love Jesus? Now here comes a test, what the text is written about. The test of knowing Jesus. In our text today, we find four times that if we have this love, it will result in us keeping his commandments. Verse 15, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Verse 21, he says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So what does it mean to love Jesus? It means we are going to keep his commandments. We're going to keep his word. Loving Jesus is not the same as keeping his commandments. Loving him comes before and gives us a longing to keep his commandments. Keeping his word is a result of loving him. For example, verse 15 says, if you love me, what's the result going to be? You will keep my commandments. Again, verse 23, which says, if anyone loves me, what's the result? He will keep my word. So loving him will result in keeping his commandments. So what is this about? What is it about this love for Jesus that gives us a reason to keep his commandments? 1 John 2, verse 5 says, whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this, we know that we are in him. We know that Jesus is faultless. He has no defects or flaws. Therefore, we cannot love him the way God loves us. We cannot love him with a love that overcomes some fault or sin that we might find in Jesus to treat him well. Again, we said, no, Jesus is faultless. Our love for Jesus is entirely deserved. We didn't deserve love from him, but he deserves a love from us. He is infinitely worthy of being loved. We love him not in spite of what he is, but because of all that he is. Our love for Jesus is a response to his beauty, his greatness, and his glory. It also means that our love for Jesus is pleasurable. It's desiring because he is infinitely desirable. It's admiring because he is infinitely admirable. It's treasuring because he is infinitely valuable. It's enjoying because he is infinitely enjoyable. And it's being satisfied because he is infinitely satisfying. Loving Jesus is not just a matter of doing good things. It's a matter of delighting in an excellent Savior. Loving Jesus means that we will keep his word. 1 John 2 verse 3 says, and hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Again, verse 15, we see that where Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So we know that we love him if we keep his commandments. If we read through the whole Gospel of John, we see different commandments that Jesus has given. We might wonder if we keep his commandments. So the question might come up, what are his commandments? A lot of the commandments that Jesus said were physical. Some were spiritual. But a few examples. In John 1 verse 12, I didn't give Willie the list of all these little commandments, because I don't think he could put them all on here if I put them all on. So we'll just go over a few of them. So John 1, verse 12, his commandment would be, receive me. John 1, verse 12 says that all that received him, to them he gave the power to become children of God. So Jesus commands us to receive him. John 1, verse 43, he says, follow me. He said this to some men, follow me. What did they do? They followed him. They became his disciples. John 5, verse 8. He comes up to this man at the pool by Bethesda. What does he tell to him? Get up. And what does this man do? He gets up. Even though he was crippled, he couldn't walk. This man got up. John 11, verse 43. He tells Lazarus, wake up from the dead. That was a command. What happened? Lazarus came up out of the grave. John 12, verse 36. Jesus says, believe in the light. Jesus said himself, I am the light of the world. John 14, verse 1, he says, believe in God. I think we all want to try to believe that, right? John 14, 11, he says, believe me. Chapter 15, verse 4, he says, abide in me. Then 15, verse 7, he says, ask for whatever you wish. And then chapter 15, verse 9, he says, abide in my love. And the last command is chapter 20, verse 22, he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed over his apostles, over his disciples, and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, these were all commands. Those commands still stand today. Second question, what are we promised if we love him? We see that answer in verse 17 of our text. It says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit that he promised us will be with us. John 16, verse 13 says, howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. Can we even fathom that promise, how deep that is? It says, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that he shall speak. And he will show you things to come. Another promise that he has given us, if we love him, is in verse 18. He says, I will not leave you. I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you. He said, not only will the Holy Spirit come, but Jesus will come, and he will give us what orphans need. They need protection and provision and guidance. Jesus will be that and more. And he will not leave us without help. Again, the verse in Matthew 28, verse 20 says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He has promised, if we love him, he will never, ever leave us. In verse 19, he says, this is more personal to his disciples. He says, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you will you will live also. Jesus said in 3 days that he would rise from the dead, but he also said to the disciples, I will appear to you. You will see me, and I will assure your hearts by a bodily resurrection that you will see. And because I live, you will live. I believe that if Jesus had not shown himself to his disciples after his resurrection from the dead, how much of the disciples really would have believed? But Jesus came back and showed himself to these disciples after the resurrection. And that made their love for him grow even more. Verse 20 says, on that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And the promise is that we have assurance. He will give it to us. Assurance that he and the Father are one, and that we are bound together with him forever. He in us, and we in him. If death can't sever that bond, nothing will. Verse 21 says, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Jesus and his Father have a special and a very close family type of love for us. And in that love, he will manifest himself to us. He will show us things about himself that the world cannot see or know. They are experienced only by those who love him and treasure him and receive him, by those who keep his commandments. Verse 23, in answer to the question why this manifestation will not be for the world, Jesus simply says it again. It is for those who love him. He says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And better yet, he says, my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Jesus makes it clear, this is not for the world. This is only for those who truly love him. In closing, let's go back over just a few things that we have read today. The first verse of our text, it says, where Jesus says, if you love me, if we love him, we will keep his commandments. Again, what are the commandments? The first one was to receive him. Let us ask ourselves, have we really received him? Is he in control of our lives? He says, follow me. Are we following his footsteps? To the man at Bethesda, he said, get up. Is the disease of sin keeping us from getting up in our spiritual walk with him? To Lazarus, he said, rise from the dead. Have we risen from the deathful sin? Have we risen from that life of sin? He says to believe in the light. He says he is the light. Do we truly believe that he is the light, and can his light shine through us? He says, believe in God and believe in me. He says, abide in me. Can we actually abide in him? Abiding in him is like the verse we heard earlier this morning, Colossians 3, verse 17. Anything that we do in word or deed should be done through him. That's abiding in him. When he commands us to ask for whatever we wish, can we be that daring to actually ask him to bless us in a way that we might fathom hard to think about right now? He says, abide in my love and receive the Holy Spirit. If we have received the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit leading us? Is that Spirit leading us into all truth? Let's think about this and actually put ourselves to the test. Can we truly answer to all these questions, to these commands? Are we obeying every one of these commands? Are we really serious about keeping His commandments? It is a blessing if we can actually keep these commandments, because if we will, the best thing about all of that is, when life here is over, we will not only be blessed, but we will spend eternity with Him. With that, let's stand for prayer.